This show is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. And on today's program, we will be featuring banjoist Clark Buehling on, I think, three different types of banjos. He's going to be performing at Techline in Champaign for the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival coming up. And he's with us on the show today for the hour. I hope you will stay tuned.
Are you tired of me, my darling? Did you mean those words you said when you spoke in fond affection on the day that we were wed? Tell me, could you live life over? Would you make it otherwise? Are you tired of me, my darling? Answer only with your
was some music from the 2009 Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival, a local group called the Ruthless Goats, My Darlin', the name of the song. And here is a group that contains the fellow who will be on our show in a matter of moments, his name Clark Buehling, and the band called The Skirt Lifters, who are, as they call themselves, the premier concert string band, doing all kinds of unusual sorts of things, of which this is a sample.
Won't you come with me, like the list here, to yonder mountain free, where the blossoms smell the sweetest, come and go with me. It's every Sunday morning when I am by your side. We'll jump into the wagon, we'll all take a ride. Silver. and the birds they sing so sweet. I have a cabin, Phyllis, and something good to eat. Come listen to my story, it will relieve my heart. To jump into the wagon and off we will start. Wait for the wagon, wait for the wagon, wait for the wagon and we'll all take ride. Do you believe that Phyllis, dear old Ike with all his wealth, can make you half so happy as I with you?
It was Clark Buehling and the Skirtlifters, a tune called Wait for the Wagon. And Clark Buehling will be at Techline in Champaign tonight at 6 o'clock, presentation of the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival. And 7 o'clock, it says here, she says. She, being a Christine Breen, who is a co-owner of Techline, blame that on the Folk and Roots people. I'm just reproducing what I was sent here. But in any event, Clark is a master of various types of banjos. I'm looking at three different ones sitting in the room here. And we're very pleased to have him live on the show today. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, how are you doing?
So I'm looking at one. Actually, when you walked in the door, I was already set for having something a little unusual because I've never seen a case like the one you brought in, which is an all-wooden case, I assume is custom-made for you. Or
yes, it's a cedar banjo case, handmade in Missouri by a fellow named Yount. And he made that for me because he said I needed a Civil War-appropriate case. And I ran into him at a Civil War encampment in Springfield where I was hired to perform some years ago. In fact, it was so long ago, I didn't expect the case to suddenly appear. I thought he'd forgotten about it, and I just kind of started forgetting about it. And then he had this case ready about 10 years or something.
And what makes it a Civil War appropriate case?
I think because it has, I don't know, the details of it, the materials that were available, the latches were available at that time, the type of simple construction. But obviously, he didn't want me to be seen with a modern banjo case, and that is quite different with the black-covered form-fitted cases that we have today. Do look a little out of place.
And I assume the new case holds your instrument just fine and
it's
cushions
doing
it
very well,
yes.
I do put some towels in it to make sure the banjo doesn't slop around. But I put my minstrel banjo in there, and this is a banjo I made myself with the help of some others. I had a drum maker help make the rim and a blacksmith do some of the metal work.
Yeah, it looks like you're heavier than usual metalwork, or at least blacker than usual metalwork.
It is thick stock he used to hold the skin down tight, the tension hoop. Here's the banjo and how it sounds.
And is this meant to replicate also something from the Civil War era?
Yes, this replicates the style of banjo played through the 1850s, 60s, 1870s, until about the time the fretted banjos, or the more modern style of banjo as we know it, started to develop by people such as S.S. Stewart and Cole and, let's see, who were some of the Fairbanks, Cole, Stewart, some of those people back before 1900.
So you said, you know, in reference to the fretted banjos, mm-hmm. I gather then that the fretless banjo, such as what you're holding, mm-hmm. Was the norm at that point?
Yeah, they predominated. The most every banjo, I suppose a few guitar players put some frets on theirs, but they weren't expected to play with frets. Now, down here we on the floor, I've got a gourd banjo. This represents the early forms of the banjo. The banjo was from Africa, and we have two ways of showing how the early five-string banjo was African, and that is by the short string on the side, played with the thumb, and the style of playing that we call clawhammer is an African way of performing on stringed instruments, some stringed instruments. And I'll pick up that banjo.
The gourd banjo.
Yeah.
We had it's been a few years now, a couple years anyway, mm-hmm. We had a feature in which I had interviewed Bela Fleck, who's, of course, you know, plays the modern banjo, and he was on, his travels were taking him to various parts of Africa,
yes,
in search of the original banjo, and he believed he found it. Well, of course, you know, I've since heard from other countries that, well, this was the real first banjo, and this instrument was the real first banjo. But a fellow named... I knew as soon as I started to try to say his name, I would forget his name because I didn't actually plan to talk about this. But in any event, it was Ngoni. Ngoni, I think, was the name of the instrument.
Ngoni is, I was hearing recently, the Ngoni is a small instrument that's related to some of the instruments you see on the Egyptian tombs, on the murals. The accounting fits closer to the five-string banjo model, and it's a larger instrument with three strings and uses a gourd for a body, a large gourd. The neck is made of a papyrus stalk, and the strings originally were made from the roots of a palm tree root. The same tree they used for their palm wine, which they drank copiously when they played the banjo, the accounting, and danced. And that, I think, that maybe that's a third thing that ties it to the banjo, the drinking and dancing part that goes with
that's
it.
That's never changed, apparently.
Apparently not.
So this gourd banjo you're holding, is that also a creation of your own?
Yes, I made this, it's probably 20 years old or older. Oh, it's maybe older than 20. My son's 20, so I know I had this before he was born, or so about then.
And you got a tune to play for us on it?
I do. Would you like to hear something?
Of course. So would you say that is an authentic tune of any, you know, from from this era or that era, or have anything to do with what might originally have been played on a gourd banjo?
It was published in the 1850s, but it seems to be an older tune. It wasn't. I don't believe it was composed close to that time. I think it goes back to an earlier tune, or maybe more than one tune.
Is the complete tune as short as you just played?
Oh, well, it could be played forever.
Like so many old-time tunes, you just hit repeat and
right.
And it
keeps
going. Right,
that was a, it's not lengthier, it's not like a sonata form or anything.
Well, we just heard a Beethoven sonata leading into you.
Oh, okay.
So,
if only he'd had a gourd banjo.
Who knows what it would have sounded like.
Yeah.
So are there, what have you got the two that you made, what have you got them strung with?
The gourd banjo here that I'm holding is strung with real gut, a set of banjo strings made by Labella. It's sheep intestine, but you wouldn't know it. It's just banjo strings. And the fourth string is wound with a filament with a metal wire over it, but that gives it weight, and So there's the gut strings. And on my finger, on my index finger in my right hand, I'm wearing a what was at one time called a thimble. We call it a finger pick. It turned around backwards to form a nail as my fingernail, and I stroke down on the strings. It gives me a good point of contact. And then the thumb and index alternate, the thumb and index alternate. And that derives from African playing.
So that also gives it a little more variety of articulation, I guess.
It does. It keeps a rhythm while it plays the melody. You can strum it, or you can pick single notes, or you can add thumb notes in between the melody notes to make it sound more complex. Let me play something to try to illustrate that.
So number of lines going on at once, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
What got you interested in these older banjo styles? Did you start with what we would call, I guess, the modern banjo and work back?
Yes, I did. I worked back. I started probably the way most people started in the 1960s with Pete Seeger's method and listened to all the records they could get the hands on and bought all the books that could get the hands on, and I could get my hands on. My advantage was that I was capable of reading notes, so I wasn't held to those methods, and I could get into a broader music.
Is reading notes actually an advantage? I mean, I ask that for self-interest, because I keep threatening to do something with the banjo and not doing anything about it. Uh-huh. And I consider myself only a note reader as opposed to not a rote learner or anything like
my,
that.
My education on the banjo was in different directions. Some of it was learned at the hands of older people in jam sessions, going out and seeking out players in Kentucky and in Virginia, sitting down with them, but also using the books to supplement that. So because of my personal contact with players, I understood the written things much better. For instance, that last piece there, it was published in a book from 1850-something, and 59, I think, yes. But here I have the book in front of me. How do I interpret that? Well, through my experience, I am able to make music out of those dots on the page, right? I think that's been an advantage, having both ear training and note training, being with other musicians, especially older musicians. It's been really helpful.
So at some point you branched out from Pete Seeger's method to collecting older methods.
Yes, I did. It took some years. I would say early on I had a book of written music in the type of notation that was popular before 1900, and it was a transposing notation. The old banjos were tuned this low to A tuning, and the modern banjos were tuned up higher, but they kept the notes down lower, a third lower. So it was not difficult for me to read that, and I read it early on when I was learning banjo, and I came across that these books also were the old books also in that transposing notation. Now, most banjo players, if they can read, it's hard enough for them just to sit down and read music, but to read in transposing notation was especially difficult, so I had an advantage there. It took me years to discover where to find any other books than that original I had, but they were hidden away. They're more available now than they were then, and some have been republished.
And you have a collection of these sorts of things.
Yes, I do. And I have a collection of individual pieces for two banjos, two mandolins and guitar, mandolin orchestra, banjo orchestra. This is all pre-four-string banjo. This is all five-string banjo, parlor guitar or classical guitar and mandolins. And you will hear tonight, if you come by Techline, you will hear some banjo duets done in the form from about 1900, because Bill Morris will be coming down from Chicago to meet me here. And we have, at least half a dozen that we intend to play.
That show is at 7 o'clock tonight at Techline in Champaign, a presentation of Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival with Clark Buehling, who is my guest here on Live and Local. And coming up, by the way, on the 14th is another presentation of the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival going to happen at Mike and Molly's in downtown Champaign. And that is a tribute show to the legendary Woody Guthrie on what would have been his 100th birthday on the day itself, and at least 21 local musicians will have some of those performers on our show first part of next week. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-244-9309. So while I was talking there, Clark, I see you switched back to your other homemade banjo. So this is kind of a Civil War era instrument. Is this also what you would call a minstrel style
exactly.
banjo?
Exactly. This is what they called a minstrel banjo, or we call it today the minstrel banjo. It would have been played in the camps, in the Civil War camps, but it also would have been played on the stage in minstrel shows and in circuses, medicine shows.
The sort of thing that your band, the Skirt Lifters, tries to recreate to some extent.
Oh, yeah. Well, we cover about 100 years of music in that band. We cut it off about 1920, though. I draw the line there.
None of that. We don't go into that newfangled stuff.
That newfangled stuff, right, exactly. Yep.
So what do you want to do?
Well, I'm going to do an old song, obviously, and I'm going to sing. It's called I'm Gwine Ober the Mountains.
Way down in the Kentuck Brake, they call him Jake. He pick up on the banjo string, just sammed a song that he would sing. Re-row, my true love, oh, come along, my darling. So far you well, my Dinah gal, I'm going over the mountains. So come, my love, go with me. I'm going away to Tennessee. My horse and cart will put you round. Walk uphill, foot it down. Re-row, my true love, oh, come along, my darling. Fare you well, my Dinah gal, I'm going over the mountains. So
One more kiss before we part. One more kiss would break my heart. Hitch your horse up to a rail. Hitch him fast, both head and tail. Re-row, my true love, oh, come along, my darling. Fare you well, my Dinah gal, I'm going over the mountains.
Going over the mountains, plural, I guess.
Mountains, yeah.
Mountains from when?
18 and middle.
Somewhere in the middle of the 1800s.
1850s, maybe 40s, maybe 1840s.
Clark Buehling playing his custom homemade old-time banjo, minstrel-style banjo, fretless banjo. Now, I asked earlier what was your gourd banjo strung with, and that's out of a sheep gut, you said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you didn't say cat gut, since I got two cats. I don't like to think about that sort
right.
of thing.
That's right, yeah, and then I won't tell them what I strung over the hole of the gourd.
Oh, I guess I really don't want to know now.
Yeah,
and what about this one?
This is strung with nylon. Of course, the nylon is the durable cousin of the cat gut.
So I was going to say, doesn't that
the
make it a bit...
The wild nylon animals. And
doesn't that make it a bit inauthentic then?
Yeah, it makes it inauthentic. And I have used gut on here, and that's fine, but... You can get these cheap now, and these Nile gut strings I think I've got down there.
Are gut strings more expensive than the
Nile
strings?
Yes, they're a little more expensive. And when the rain gets really damp, they start coming unwound. If you happen to wear out a little spot on that, they'll start unwrapping.
Oh, so that makes them even more expensive.
You get kind of a fuzz tone.
not very effective, huh?
Yeah, so I've bowed to some convention. The skin head, though, stretched across here. I don't have the plastic head on the banjo. The skin is real skin, calf skin in this case.
I was just gonna ask of whose skin is that?
This actually came from Pakistan.
So we even import our banjo heads.
We can't make them ourselves?
we have no American cows to be sacrificed to
sacrificed to the banjo gods.
You're reading descriptions of your shows, particularly with the skirt lifters and period costumes of some kind or other, or at least costumes of some kind or other seem to be...
Some would argue
significant
that
they're
not costume, they're vintage clothing or, something. Costumes being, like, loosely threaded together and fall apart. But these, there's real hard-wearing clothing that we're wearing. They're more authentic.
And you'll be doing some form of that tonight, or will you just be dressed up as Clark?
Yeah, I'll just be dressing cool in my linen. And...
Because as you were singing that last tune... your face was starting to light up a bit, and I thought, ooh, he either especially gets into the words or is starting to imagine himself in one of these old minstrel shows in costume and so on.
Oh, maybe both.
Well, tell me a little bit about these skirt lifter shows, because they sound like a lot of fun.
Well,
You don't have skirt lifters for this for tonight.
No, I'm just doing
still.
A solo, and then Bill Morris is going to join me. well, the whole point of the skirt lifters, well, the original skirt lifter was Hawk Hubbard, who brought the band name with him from Bloomington over to Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Which is where you're based.
It's where I'm based, and he's not out there anymore. The band has remained, and we've gone through a couple other fiddlers. Well, we've gone through Jim Lansford played fiddle with us, and some of you know Jim Lansford, Jim and Kim. And now we're using Tom Verdeaux from Columbia, Missouri. Tom Verdeaux is a fine violin maker and fiddler and violinist, too, because he sits in with the orchestra, plays with the orchestra. And we have a guitar player, Tom Howard, who recently announced that he didn't want to spend any more time playing guitar with us, that we'd have to probably look for someone else, although we do feel we could twist his arm a little bit.
At least for occasional local shows, maybe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you have a dancer.
Yes, Kent Bayette. Kent is a retired English professor and Navy pilot, and he's retired into the life of he's joined the circus pretty much by joining the skirt lifters. He does the percussion and jig dancing. He does the dancing in the show. Plays baron in pieces and tambourine and bones and what have you.
He says here he's got a PhD, professor of heelology and dance.
Yes, he had to create that degree at the university. That wasn't a normal track to follow in the graduate program.
So three of the guys in the skirt lifters play banjo. I mean, yourself and two of the others.
Oh yeah.
So you sometimes have banjo trios going on.
The guitar player occasionally played a guitar banjo, and Tom Verdeaux does play banjo, and I do, and we do indeed do some banjo trios.
What is a guitar banjo?
It's a guitar with a banjo body. It's
a guitar with a banjo body. So
yeah, six strings tuned like a guitar. The neck's a little longer because the round body of the banjo is smaller than the guitar body, so you get some extra space up at the high notes. It grunts and grumbles like a banjo, but it plays in the left hand like a guitar.
I'd like to see one. I still keep saying that I really want to see a banjo band, which I understand used to be something more common.
There are different ideas of banjo bands. There's the banjo four-string banjo bands, and even among them there are two types, the strummers, and there's the more orchestrated types, which are rarer, which are really nice to listen to. But they're not as much fun for the players. They just want to strum. So then you have the five-string banjo orchestra. These are particularly rare because the only one I can think of is the American Banjo Fraternity. They meet twice a year and use the old orchestrations for different sized banjos, which includes the cello banjo, standard banjo playing second, which is chords, and then the standard banjo playing the lead, the banjerine, which is three-quarter size, playing lead, and piccolo banjo playing obbligato and harmony parts, and it's half size.
I think I've seen a video of you playing the cello banjo.
Yes, yes, you've seen me playing Too Utterly Two, I think, a clog dance. It's maybe an elephant's clog dance on the cello banjo.
So the cello banjo just has a much bigger, the head, is that what you call the thing
at
the bottom?
Yes, the head, the rim, the drum is 16 inches on that one. It's an old one.
As opposed to this one you're holding?
Which is 12 inches, which is larger than most of which are 11 inches. And let me play something here. The one thing that occurred in the life of the banjo was that the Irish came over in flocks, fleeing the potato famine, and they took up the banjo in places like New York and Philadelphia and Boston. Which were also the same places that minstrel shows were very popular, the eastern cities. So I'm going to play a couple of Irish jigs. And this is from the old books from that period. Thank you.
Couple of Irish jigs played by Clark Buehling here on Live and Local. He's going to be performing tonight at Tech Line in Champaign, a presentation of the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival. Also, Bill Morris joining him for some banjo duets on that show. And we are hearing him on Live and Local on FM 90.9. You're invited, by the way, to join us, WYLL, on our custom-designed trip to England and Wales this September, where you can experience the real Downton Abbey in a private tour, created just for friends of WYLL, the listeners who support us financially. See lovely Cotswold villages and the Yorkshire countryside. Meet Alan J.W. Bell, who's producer of Last of the Summer Wine, that long-running show on our companion station, WYLL-TV. Tour Greenway, which is Agatha Christie's home, and the English spa town of Bath, where the Jane Austen Center is, before wrapping up the trip in London. The tour is nearly full. Call 217-333-7300 or visit WYLL's website for more information. Our website, by the way, is will.illinois.edu, wyll.illinois.edu, where we do post archives of all of the Live and Local shows. Anybody who's performing live on the show, you can hear. If you've missed all or part of it, you can hear on the website. Usually, not always the same day. We try to get up there as quickly as possible. And we have occasionally some videos of our performers as well. And those are just found randomly as we are able to produce those. So it's Clark Buehling on our show today, and he has now picked up. Now, is this a modern banjo, or is this an old modern banjo?
It has frets. It has lots of hooks to hold the skins tight, the skin tight on it. It's from about 1915.
So it's not a obviously not a new one, then.
It's not a new one, no, but it has all the details of a modern one. It does not have a resonator. None of these have resonators except maybe the gourd, because it's round.
The resonator being the thing you put on the backside that
yes.
ends up making it a little louder.
Yeah, I don't know how much it does. Maybe a little bit. It's pretty loud by itself.
And the screws you were talking about, what is their function besides to hold the skin on the rim?
Aside from holding the skin tight around the rim, all those hooks that go around it, they're meant to be shiny and pretty.
That's it?
That's about it, yeah.
So can you alter the sound of the banjo with loosening or tightening them?
You can, and sometimes you need to. You know, sometimes it's raining out, and so you need to tighten them. Sometimes it's very sunny, and you're outside. You need to loosen them, or the skin will split. So you keep a key. It's like a skate key.
So is this as much as anything for the health of the skin?
You will have to replace it if it breaks. Or if it's too soggy, the banjo won't be as bright sounding or as loud. Of course, some people put socks inside them so they won't be loud, but they could just play softer, I guess.
Well, people don't want to be inhibited. Right?
Well, take the socks out of the banjo.
No socks in your banjo, no right? None of that stuff for you. None of those.
Yeah, that'd be a t-shirt. No socks.
This is a sockless banjo that Clark has. So you'll have at least these three banjos on your show tonight.
Yeah.
Do you have you have a cello banjo also with you? Did you bring that along?
Bill has one. I think we decided not to use it for this show. He'd be bringing it down here and maybe having it just one or two pieces. We figured some other time.
So what have you got for us on the modern one?
Well, I'll do some finger style. I'll do a fairly simple piece called the Rattlesnake Jig, and this is from a learning exercise, but it was probably a real piece too. And also, I do want to mention we call these tunes jigs. Some people get really upset that they are not Irish and not in 6/8, and they say a jig is in 6/8. So, but no, at this time period, There were many tunes that were not in 6/8. They were mostly in 2/4. At least in the books, they're in 2/4. Anyway, here's an example.
So a 6/8 would be like ya da 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 da, something like that.
Yes, and this is more boom da da dum da da dum da da dum. And frequently they're short. A dance was done to them. And that may be the jig part, is the that is a dance performed with it, a solo dance.
Couple of jigs from around when?
1890s.
Oh, so these are a little later than some of the some of the ones we've been hearing it a little bit earlier. I'm going back a little bit to your group called the Skirt Lifters, mm-hmm. just because I'm curious about where you find some of the material, not only for your solo shows but also for those shows and the humor of the songs, for example, or even the whole presentation. Where do you, is this stuff just stuff you make up? Or do you go back to some of the, whatever records there may be of old minstrel shows and reproduce mm-hmm. jokes as well as do you reproduce songs?
We listen to the old recordings and we refer to written references. I have numerous joke books from the period. A lot of the material you can't use. Some just isn't funny. Some of it, is just outdated. But you can rewrite some of them and update them. As far as the humor is mostly wordplay. And you'll hear some tonight. One of my favorite books is A Slow Train Through Arkansas, which is a rambling on monologues of, much like what I use, because some of I've stolen directly from it. And for the music, I have a personal library of pieces written mostly after the 1880s or late 1880s. Up until the First World War, and so in there are comic songs, there are ragtime pieces, pieces like I just played, and even classical music. So, so for the presentation, it's just what we think works and what should be, what we'd like to, the feeling we'd like to give for the performance is nostalgic, and it's a bit like forget that where you are in the modern world for a while and come into the past with us. Maybe a time machine, a trip in a time machine. There you go.
So do you have any 1800s equivalents of the Bob Hope one-liners for us?
No, I don't do one-liners.
You got a nice long story for it?
Oh, well, yeah.
I'm kind of curious.
Oh, let's see. Yeah, well, here's one. It's not terribly long. I met the Little family the other day. There was Mr. Little and Mrs. Little, and they have 5 children. Now, Mr. Little only makes $4 a week, and I asked him how he managed such a large family on such a small salary. He said every little helped.
So is this where the percussionist punctuates that?
No, we don't do percussion punctuation. But one time I'd been telling that joke for about 3 years, and I did it one show, and suddenly the guitar player cracked up. All that time he didn't get it, and so he wondered why I even told it. And then, but that one time he finally got it, and right on stage, Jerry cracked, almost fell off his chair.
So that was a genuine response as opposed to a stage response. Do you accompany yourself in jokes and stories? Steve Martin used to haul his banjo around. He'd be playing the banjo while he'd be telling the jokes and so on like that.
Yeah, well, I'll tell the jokes in the middle of a song. I've done that, but I always just ad-lib that. But I did that the other night. Because suddenly a joke came into my mind while I was playing, so I just stopped and told the joke, and then went.
Well, if anything occurs to you as you play it's another tune, feel free to just sort of stop and.
Sure.
And if it doesn't, of course, don't feel pressured.
I'd like to play a bit of a popular piece on my old Kentucky home. Here it goes.
So that's not the sort of tune that we usually think of one playing on a banjo.
You don't?
No.
I do.
Well, that's because you have dipped back into a time where I guess it would have been. I mean, now it's more often, if it's a melodic instrument, it seems to be in this rapid-fire bluegrassy style, you know.
Yes. More notes, faster, louder.
And the rest of the time, it's more of an accompanying instrument or...
You know, they're
digga-digga-digga-digga-digga, and then, you know, one finger will play the tune or something like that.
Yeah. Well, obviously it's not that style, is it? It's an older style which provides the melody, a harmony, a chord, sometimes even provides bass notes for it. I tried to think of something that would show that. Well, the marches that were arranged or some composed for the banjo, show that off frequently using the bass string as the tuba part and going up and having like piccolo parts up here and the drums going. Well, here's a piece that might show that off well if it'll stay in tune. I hate to be changing tunings. Now I'm in what's called G tuning, or raised bass. I just raised the bass string. And here's a British banjo composition called To the Front. If it'll stay there, stabilize. There. Thank you. Can you hear the drums?
Definitely yeah. Hear the drums, yeah. No, that was fun. Clark Buehling here on Live and Local. He'll be playing tonight at Tech Line. This banjo and a couple of others, and also in duet with Bill Morris. That show is going to be at 7 o'clock tonight. And I was going to mention some of the other things going on in our listening area, and I noticed that I didn't bring this weekend's calendar in with me. So what I might do is, while you play us another tune, if you don't mind, I'll run out and get that other page of the calendar.
Oh, okay.
You mentioned some ragtime tunes.
Sure, I'd love to play a ragtime piece. I'll play the Smiler Rag. There he goes.
And that was called the what rag?
The Smiler.
Smiler, like smiling.
Like smiling. It was by Percy Wenrich from Joplin, Missouri. He was known as the Joplin Kid.
Fair enough.
Yep.
And Clark Buehling playing on his 1815 Bacon banjo. Am I reading that right on your...
Yes, Bacon, yes.
The Bacon Blue Ribbon banjo.
Well, the top of the banjo is Blue Ribbon, and the bottom of the banjo is a Bacon Orchestra.
So a couple of different kinds of Bacon banjo.
Yeah, fitted together.
Clark will be at Tech Line in Champaign tonight at 7 o'clock, along with a fellow banjo player coming down from Chicago, Bill Morris. Clark comes up from Fayetteville, Arkansas, so they're meeting almost from opposite ends of the north-south spectrum of the U.S. here. And I did pull up the correct page of the calendar, and so I'll mention we got quite a few things going on this weekend besides Clark's show. This explains why I didn't see your show on my calendar, and I was wondering, somehow we slipped up. That's because I had the wrong weekend. In any event, the Aduki Trio will play jazz at Michael's Restaurant in Bloomington this evening at 6 o'clock. Big Blue Stem will be playing for the Urbana Country Dancers Contra Dance at the Phillips Center in Urbana tonight at 8 o'clock. It's the Red Mask Players putting on For Whom the Southern Bell Tolls and Graceland at the Catherine Randolph Theater in Danville. That's tonight and tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Black Ridge Road will play at Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood this evening at 5:30. The Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan presents Gilbert and Sullivan's The Pirates of Penzance tonight through Sunday at 8 o'clock. The In Your Ear Big Band at the Cowboy Monkey in Champaign this evening at 6:30. The Illinois Shakespeare Festival is presenting As You Like It at 8 o'clock with live jazz at 6:30 at Ewing Manor in Normal. University of Illinois Theater Department is presenting The Diary of Anne Frank at the Krannert Center in Urbana tonight and Saturday at 7:30. The Frank Trumpeter Quintet is at Marley's Pub in Springfield this evening at 6. It's the Susan Williams Blues Band at Clark Bar in Champaign tonight at 7 o'clock. Tree Thump, featuring the Didgeridoo, are at the Champaign Public Library tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock. Hathaway's trio are at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. That may be an inaccurate listing, by the way. I had some question about that come up in an email earlier. The King Family Band are playing at the Barn in Pena tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. It's the Urbana Pops Orchestra playing at Lincoln Square in Urbana tomorrow at noon. The Springfield Youth Performance Group presents Princess Journey at the Hoagland Center in Springfield Saturday at 2 and 6:30. Mulligan Monroe plays Irish folk music at Norb Andy's in Springfield tomorrow evening at 8:30. The Sugar Prophets play the blues at Alto Vineyards in Champaign tomorrow night at 7. Matthew Curry and the Fury are at the Treehouse in Bloomington tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock. The Traditional Jazz Orchestra is at Bouvon's in Urbana tomorrow evening at 7. And I think that is what we have time for on the calendar today. You are listening to Live and Local on WYLL, on 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and more for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois, and we have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium. 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com. And I do want to say thanks to Christine Breen of TechLine for letting me know about Clark Buehling, and to Clark, of course, for coming in today. The show is at 7 o'clock tonight. For more information on offerings from the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival, go to folkandroots.org. And love to hear something else. Like, so you've got the old minstrel banjo up.
Yes,
what
do
you got
I do.
For us?
Yes. And I was going to play something something familiar. The Arkansas Traveler. This is as published in 1887 by Frank Converse.